gentlemen. It's the Hawk coming to you live. It's Friday, 2/24/2023. And, you know, I'll tell you, sometimes you can see the signals. Because, you know, we've got situations where the stock market went way down today, the Dow and everything, down about 3%. But at the same time, you would think the gold and silver would be going up. Well, you see, the problem is that certain people want to get you to sell yours or get rid of yours, so they're going to buy it all up. And then they catch the, what I call the mid-level rich guys, playing the ups and downs, the arbitrage on the futures markets in silver, gold, and platinum, etc. But here you go, gold, 18, 11, 20. So 18, that's three sixes, okay? That tells you who's controlling that. And then 11 is 2, and then 2 and 0 is 2. So 666, 22, okay? Silver, you had 2, 20, 76. So you got 2 and you got 13, okay? And then you got 0.56 down, 0.56. Well, that's 11, all right? Ah, well, this is just what I'm trying to show to you. They use symbology. They use symbols and little tricks to just like the old numbers game where they used to use the digits of the daily take at the racetrack, you know, or bet on a certain horse or bet on a certain race as the number for the next day, you know, in the numbers rackets. But here's platinum. Now you think, well, platinum, 909. Well, 9 plus 9 is 18. Platinum, three sixes again, okay? So I'm just telling you, there is some symbology in there about who's controlling, and Lucifer is controlling these too. Controlling these and controlling the markets and controlling the bankers that run the show, all right? The bankers that are running the show. So I will say this. Daniel, chapter 11. Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength through the riches he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Okay? And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and to according to his will. And when he shall stand up, this kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, not to his posterity, but according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others besides those. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of the princes he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion, and in the end of years they shall join in the end of years, verse 6, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand his arm, but she shall be given up. And they that brought her, and her that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times, but out of the branch of her roots, shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt, and their gods with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land, but his son shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great force. And one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return, and he stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude. But the multitude shall be given unto his land. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many tens of thousands, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come with certain years with a great army and with such riches. And in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the north, king of the south, and the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fail. So the king of the north shall come mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to the withstand. And he that cometh against him shall do accordingly in his own will, and none shall stand before him, and then shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Now, I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you got to start to look at this, because this is Daniel. This is back a long time ago, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I suggest you go to Daniel chapter 11 and also chapter 12 and read those, because you got to kind of think and kind of look around the bend as to see who the king of the north, the king of the south is, you see, and all of that kind of a thing. It's kind of interesting. I do recall that George W. Bush and his old pal, Vladimir Putin, remember old Vlad? Vlad and him, they could see eye to eye in the trench. It's like they went to high school together. Remember all that? When Vlad was down there in Crawford, Texas, with old George W., right? Vlad, he could get along with him. Remember all that? Well, I'll tell you what. Vlad was trying to bring the king of the north, the king of the south together, but that did not happen, you see. That did not go well. That did not go the way they want it to go. Now, the pollution, the destruction of East Palestine, right, in Ohio, is just incredible. But all these other things, all of these other items that are sitting out there in terms of sabotage and murder and the black awakening of all kinds of evil throughout the land. I mean, it's just awakening. Just awakening, and the Lucifer is waking it up. If you watch Mimic for a time, and you watch it over a long period of time, and you see the energy is being shot out, tremendous power with ancient technology out of Antarctica, then you will understand where some of this stuff emanates. And I was looking at pictures today of one of my friends, the old Cohasset Weather Club up there, Cohasset Road Weather Club. And God bless you. May the Lord protect you against all evil. And their Jeep and their other vehicles were like totally, the snow drifts were up to the top of the vehicles. They've had all kind of 22 inches, 2 foot of snow, and they've got more coming and all kind of stuff coming. But in the midst of it all, it's like they showed me pictures of these wonderful German shepherds running and playing and bounding through the snow. It's like my other California friends, the old stagecoach stop up there, where they had the last time we had the storm up in their area. They had a lamb was born, and I said, call that the chosen one, or call that the chosen lamb, or whatever, that Jesus picked that out. And then they had, after they did do that, and their faith is so strong in Lord Jesus that they then had 15 other new lambs. Now, I pray the only good thing comes out of this is that moisture goes back into the soil and there's less drought on the West Coast and in from the West Coast. But at the same time, we have a lot of people, and we've had some people have died, you know. And I know also my old buddy, Crazy Horse, up there in Utah, okay? Crazy Horse, I hope you got a lot of snow in your area, because you always say that if you get the snow, then that will transfer into water. The rain sometimes is not enough, and that the snow, deep snow, will also preclude them from coming down your lane to look into what your business is, where you can hide in the trees and have about 7 knives and that old buff gun on you, and you can take care of them when they come down the road. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying hi to some people because I think about them. And then there's the people up in Rochester, Minnesota, where I know that a person was killed, hit by one of the big snow plows. And they had, you know, 16 inches of snow in Minneapolis, and then all kind of stuff in Michigan and all over the place. So I pray that the Lord Jesus will protect you and all of your family against all evil. I pray that he will also supply you with abundance and all things needed and wanted, all right? But it also tells us, a la Matthew 25, you see, where Jesus, you know, has the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And the foolish virgins say, we did not bring oil, give us some of yours. And the wise virgins say, not so. You go to them that sell and buy for yourselves, lest we not have enough. So when the bridegroom comes, those that got their lamp oil, who were prepared, they went into the marriage with the bridegroom. And then the others came, oh, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know ye not. Take the time within your means and with however your ability to do so. And if you just look in the old couch, I've looked in the old couch. I sold pop bottles. I've gathered up cans and took them. I remember all kind of times when I had to do stuff like that to get me a can of Chef Boyardee or of Chunky Soup or, you know, something like that, or a Coca-Cola or whatever it is I was looking for at the time. And now you've probably got in your closet, you probably got a jar full of pennies or dimes or quarters or whatever. You might have an old cookie jar filled up with it or whatever you got. I remember people at Gun Barrel City there in Texas. I remember they used to have a lot of yard sales, you know. Everybody have a yard sale or, you know, something like that. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, if you can do nothing else, then you need to get you at least one extra can of a Chunky Soup or a Progresso Soup, a Chef Boyardee, whatever it might be, whatever it is you got. But I like the soups because you got the meat, your potatoes, gravy, vegetables all wrapped into one, and you don't have to add water to it. You can throw it into a canteen cup, hold it over the fire and heat it all up and get your spoon and go to town. All right. That's a ration for one day. That's something that you can keep fresh in your mind in a simple way. So if you got 4 people in the family, you need at least 4 cans of Chunky Soup. If you can add some rice to that, get your big bag of rice. And the other night I was trying to look for the word, and it's diatomaceous earth. Food grade diatomaceous earth will preclude or keep the bugs out of grain. All right? Food grade diatomaceous. Diatomaceous earth. That's what I was trying to think of the other night. Food grade diatomaceous earth. Also, when you cap them, you can put the oxygen absorbers and stuff in them and do things like that to keep it for a longer period of time. But try and do some of that. Try and do something extra. Because now I've heard today that I guess in London in England, there's a whole group of academics and people who are the smart people working for the New World Order crowd. They think that the way to help climate change is to put you on World War II rations on the amount of food that you can have or buy. Because, you see, that way we'll give more food for other people in the world to have. So you need to get as much food right now as you can. We've talked about these chemical spills, and we also had a chemical train go down in Detroit. We're fortunate that didn't go like the one in Ohio did. Or as bad. We had one off of near Houston down there. Splendora, Texas, I think it was called. We had another one in South Carolina or wherever. But this kind of stuff, now, all of the toxic water from the firefighters putting out that huge thing that they blew up, they blew that train up and set it on fire, okay? With the polyvinyl chloride, they made phosgene, and they got all kind of other stuff, butyl acetate, or yeah, whatever, all kind of different chemicals. They burn them all up, and all of that water that got thrown onto it to tamp the fires down and to put the fires out, all that water is toxic, loaded with dioxins and all these chemicals and all this junk. And guess what? They sucked all that water up. They're putting it in trucks, and they're taking it by the road. Allegedly taking them by the road down to Houston, Texas. I guess old Jig Your Booty lost his train of thought. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a cute little son of a buck, ain't he? Cute little son of a buck. Latin the Lopers, Jig Your Booty, all right? I lost my train of thought. You know, that's a real good, you know, real good metaphor, you know, real good analogy, you know, whatever you want to call that one. But why are they taking all this pollutants? Is there not a closer thing, or do we have to endanger everybody on every interstate highway or two-lane highway if they decide to go the wild route, you know, from the Ohio-Pennsylvania border all the way to South Texas? Are they going to go out and hit, you know, 40 or I-70 or, you know, something like that? You know, are they going to take 74, you know, over to 57 and go down, you know? Or are they going to go all the way out to St. Louis, you know, on 70 and then take 55 on down, you know? Or are they going to go further on out and then take I-35 down? I guess they would have to expose it, Kansas City, St. Louis, Kansas City, and go down I-35 straight to Texas. But I tell you what, I guess people say, well, they ought to put it on the railway because the railways are safer. You see how all this plays into the bit. And little do you know that there's the movie called White Noise. That allegedly, and I still haven't nailed all this down in my own mind, but allegedly some of the people there were extras in that movie that involved in the movie some kind of a wreck of a chemical train. It's like the Muslims. It's like the Luciferians tell you. They tell you right to your face what they're going to do to you. And you go, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, big shot. And then they do it to you. Oh, I'll tell you what. And how we burned in the camps later thinking. What would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family, or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city. A quarter of the entire city. People had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang, bang of the downstairs door, at every step in the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The Organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation, then we purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. That's Alexander I. Solzhenitsyn, who spent a lot of time in the Siberian camps making gloves or mittens for the Soviet Army. Oh, the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. And the war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and the political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. And we shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall evoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show the clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. And then everywhere, the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilizations. And the multitude disillusioned, Albert Pike says, with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer. So when you're talking about the true light, you see, give us more light, give us more light, give us more light. Well, then you're talking about the manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. And this manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement, which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. That's per Albert Pike. And that's the Third World War. He also called the Second and First World Wars pretty close. In 1871, you don't think that the Illuminati, that the Luciferians, that the High Cabal, whatever it is you want to call them, the Lucy Bankers, the World Economic Forum, the New World Order, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateralists, the Council on Foreign Relations, whatever it is you want to call them, or whatever it is they have been called, or they changed the name, you see. Well, let me tell you what. Those at the top use governments and armies and militaries and intelligence communities and pit them against each other to cause what? Planet Earth, no more than 500 million in harmony and perpetuity, blah, 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 with a common language and all that stuff. Sounds like the Tower of Babel, don't it? Sounds like the Tower of Babel. And I will tell you, we're not that far off from that kind of world, because those that were here before, those of the gigantic structure, those of the fallen angels, were also can be very big. Okay. Well, they're coming back. Oh, I just heard from my friends at the old stagecoach stop. Lots of snow and very cold weather, but the lambs and baby goats have been safe. The guard dogs are doing even busier as a mountain lion spotted just behind our place. A bobcat got two turkeys so far, haven't got him. The rest of the turkeys are locked up safe. Our chickens are laying up a storm of their legs on their new feed. They got rid of the Purina feed. No Purina. And you see, diatomaceous earth is used by every garden in time. Prayers each day, Hawk. That's the old stagecoach stop. Glad to hear your dogs are fighting the mountain lions off and the wolves and the bobcats. And I'll tell you what, I had a bobcat on my front porch. And I thought at first I went out, I just kind of peeked out the window at night. Well, it was actually earlier in the morning. I was going to turn off the coach lamps or the porch lights out there. And I looked down and I saw a cat that was real big. And when I turned it off, I kind of bumped the door and he kind of looked up at me. And I said, "That's an awful big cat." And then he got out there and I pulled down, I opened the big door and I pulled down the screen on the storm door, which was locked. And I went, "Row!" And he jumped back off the porch, and then he gave me a hiss and a big row. And then I said, "Man, that's a bobcat. That thing." I said, "How could a cat like that weigh 40 pounds? You know what I'm saying? This thing was huge. So I come to find out my neighbor had saw a bobcat too. So it's like this kind of stuff is coming down the road. It reminds me of a few years ago when I was really going after Lucifer real hard. And all of a sudden, a small rattlesnake showed up, right? I've never had any kind of snakes on the property ever before. Right up by my garage door where I would come out of the garage door, and that snake would be there to, pow. Well, I got him with the old ice chopper. I got down on him, and I fainted a little bit before he could strike, and I came right down on top of his head, and I chopped his head off and ground it good on the ground, and there you go. And he was still rattling that rattle after the head was off. So you got to watch out because they can still get you or bite you for a little bit. That's an aside, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you what, this whole thing will wear you out because there's so much to confront. There's so much to do. But I will tell you what, you know what the secret is? It's Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven gave his only begotten Son, Lord Jesus, to come down onto the planet Earth. And he came down and he lived among us. And he came here and because he was put on the cross and died and put into the grave and resurrected, he is there and came to wash the sins and blood off of us, to take and remit our sins, to wash us clean with his blood, you see. There's power in the blood of Jesus, power in the blood of Jesus. And if you're out there, if you're down in Antarctica, you better hear it because he's coming for you. And when he comes for you with his archangels, Michael and Gabriel amongst them, and he comes for you and whoever else comes with them, whoever else comes with them, and probably old Greg Evenson will come down on a halo jump, high altitude, low opening jump, and he'll have his junior angel boots on himself, and he'll come and fight. And this one will come and fight, and that one will come and fight. And it'll be like the vision of George Washington, you see, when it comes to America. So you'd better get prepared and get ready. Get ready, get ready. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood of Jesus. And don't you ever forget it. And if you are with him and he's with you, and you know that just like you know your address, your name, or your age, or whatever it is, then you know that you will have, because you believe in him, everlasting life with him in heaven if you're to lose your life here. When you know where you're going to be going, where you know that you'll go to heaven, it takes a burden off of your heart, and that you're not going to be going to hell or in some dark, deep cavern and your spirit snuffed out, or maybe just left alive there and molder in a grave somewhere. You're going to go to heaven. Your spirit will go to heaven. You will go to heaven. You are what you're talking about, you see? And how do we know that? Well, I know that. I can go over here to, what is it, Luke 21? You know, I'll tell you, sometimes I like to preach. And I didn't start out to be a preacher or anything like that. I was far from it, if you know what I mean. Far from it, if you know what I mean, years ago. But I will say this, that I understand now. Luke 21. Yeah, here we go. Right here it is. Luke 21. Because how do we know that? What I was just talking about. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Verse 10, starting down. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all of these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons. Well, the FBI is persecuting Christians, aren't they? Being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And his name is Jesus. And there shall, verse 18, though it says, verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. And because you do that and you're sticking with Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven, even though they're going to hate you, and a lot of them people are going to be put to death, but there shall not a hair of your head. Because, see, you are the wonderful spirit, the soul that's going to go to heaven, okay, and have a marvelous life there. I talked with my mother, who actually left her body and went to heaven on two separate occasions, and I talked to her for an hour about what she saw, and she was great detailed. She had excellent memory of all of it. And she saw my father and her father and mother and grandparents and friends from the old days and all the kind of stuff in the most marvelous park, green rolling hills and trees and sunny and everything. And then they went downtown because my mom was not versed in heaven. And she said, well, are you hungry? Let's go down and get something to eat. That's what my mother said. It was kind of funny. But she was tough and funny and very smart. Genius.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back in a little different format. I'll tell you what, Lucifer does not like it when you talk about, nor do any of his minions in government or in the intelligence world or the banking world or the corporate world or the military world or even the sneaky ones inside your own church. Part of the Black Awakening. They do not like it when you talk about there's power in the blood of Jesus. They do not like it when you go to heaven. They do not like it when there's testimony of people who actually saw it. I was in a diabetic coma, and I was up in the tunnel of light with Lord Jesus. And he said, no, it's not your time. And I was able to look down through the tunnel, through the opening, down into the hospital room and see my body laying in the bed. in a total diabetic coma, and I saw all kind of weird, crazy, demonic entities and phantasmagoric creatures who were trying to get me or to feed off of me. But Lord Jesus would not have let them have me, because not a hair on my head. Because you see, I was with Him. I was with Lord Jesus in that tunnel of light where I would have gone to heaven if He would have allowed it. But instead, I came back, and there I am talking to you again, many years, number of years later, okay? So consequently, they knocked you off the air, ladies and gentlemen. They knocked you off the air. Last night, they messed with my microphone to make it sound like, oh, you know, the smart guys knew that I thought I had a bad mic. But it wasn't a bad mic, you see. It was them messing with it. And last night I had all the helicopter activity around the house prior to the show, and then a flyover during the show. Then after the show, a flyover again, which then we know where it landed. We even know where it landed. I should have gone out and helped gas up the old helicopter, you know. Could have drove very fast, you see, down the road, maybe 30 miles, and gone out there and gone to that little small airport. You see what I'm saying? Out by Olathe. Actually, there's two of them. But anyway, but out there by Gardner, Olathe, in that area. So consequently, then they flew over again because they obviously, somebody heard me and somebody else talking about that. So I'm going to tell you, well, ladies and gentlemen, what they try to do is to discredit a person on the air. And I'm sitting here, and I'll tell you, I've done this for almost going over 18 years. And they knocked me off the box a whole lot of times, just like they knocked Brother Quail out of the box. I'll tell you what, I've had a monitor blow up, you know, in my face and nail the computer. I've had two other laptops go. Brother Quail was in his house one time where he used to live up in the mountains in a real big house up in there. And he had a beautiful room that he could overlook the mountains and look out, you know, and see it all in a nice, beautiful set of, you know, three or four big windows. And he had a nice radio board set up there completely. And then he had, what is it, the T1 lines or the T10 lines, whatever. The big, huge data transmission lines that were coming from 10, 15, 20 miles away right into Steve's house. Well, those suckers, when they hit that, they blew his board up to where it actually singed his face a little bit, his hair and what have you in the face, and exploded on him. And then also they melted that data transmission line, a huge data transmission line, back 15, 20 miles. And Steve could not even get that up for another month or 2 months. And they said, well, we've never seen anything like this. What the heck's going on? Well, he said, I didn't do anything, man. So these people, these Luciferians, these scumbags that work for them, the minions, and yes, we're going after the Christians, or we're going after the pro-life Catholics, or we're going after the Baptists, or we're going after this one, going after that one, you see. Or anybody who believes in the Bill of Rights, you see. Oh, that's terrible, too, you see. Because that is an enumeration of the powers granted to you by our Lord in heaven. So I'm going to tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And I will say this. Brother Quail can help you get what you need. If you need gold or silver or platinum, price has gone down, so get them while you can. That's what the Red Chinese are doing. That's what the Russians are doing. That's what the Iranians are doing. That's what the big Lucy bankers are doing. They're buying up gold and silver. You know, stuff on paper that you get the statement because you own a stock account or something like that. No, no, they want the gold. They want the land. They want the coal mine, or they want the oil well, or they want the cobalt mine, or they want the iron ore range, you see. They want all of that, or they want the millions of hectares of land in the Four Corners down in South America, which is the largest, basically untapped water reservoir. All right? The underground reservoir of water. And we got the one out here in Kansas, Nebraska, and part of Colorado, and, you know, all up in this area. the Ogallala, aquifer. Well, it's being dried up. It's being dried up at a high rate. It's been used wonderfully to use those big, if you've ever seen them, and a lot of people never have, if you just live in the city and never get out of them, or if you live in somewhere where you don't see it quite so much, where you have maybe more an abundance of water, these great big sprinklers that are, you know, out on a wheeled sprinkler system with a line with water, that have water jets that go, you know, like a, oh, I don't know what they go, an eighth of a mile, quarter mile, but they can water a whole huge swath of a field. And that has produced food like you can't believe. But now I guess the English academics, those who work for the Bank of England, you see, they want to put you on a World War II ration. So your meat, the amount of meat, and I remember talking to my dad about this, who was, let's just say he was a counterintelligence in Germany. And he also, anyway, he had been an MP and he'd been involved in stuff, but he went a little higher up, but he always had three or four other MOSs, like he was always motor pool, or he was always a supplier, or he was this one or that one, or he was the MP, or, you know, that kind of stuff. He had too many MOSs, and he was had ability and power beyond the rank that was on his shoulder. So anyway, I remember talking to him about all of that, you see. It's crazy, you know, crazy, wazy, wazy. And he said that he knew this family in Germany, and they were not too far from the Black Forest, right? Filled with deer and all kind of game and everything up in there. And he went over to their house. They had him over to the house. They befriended him and everything, and they put onto his plate a piece of meat about the size of, two silver dollars wide, okay? But not anything, and not very thick, maybe an inch thick, but two silver dollars wide, all right? And he starts to cut into it and eat it. He looks around. He says nobody else has got anything on their plates. And it was a whole big family, you know, six, seven, eight people. And they have nothing, no meat on their plates, and they're all looking over at that meat, okay, that he's cutting into and taking his first bite. And he looked at it, he said, what's wrong? You know, what's going on here? What's wrong? He said, that is our ration of meat for an entire month for the entire family. Well, the very next day, the old man went out, got him an M1 rifle, and got him a Jeep driver and what have you, and they went out into the Black Forest, and they shot about two, three deer, took them down to the mess sergeant. Mess sergeant gutted them and cleaned them and carved them up into venison meat, okay? And he took that whole family, took them two deers, and gave the third deer to the mess sergeant, okay? And they could not believe, but he took them two deers, and they had a lot of meat. And I'm going to tell you, you better start thinking about that kind of stuff. Better start thinking about that kind of stuff. Start thinking about it quick. I try to give you a very basic, easy, simple thing to think in your mind. One can of chunky soup, one can of a progressive soup. I would go for a beef barley myself, or, you know, or a clam chowder, or, you know, if you like the vegetables, just get you a minestrone or vegetable beef or, you know, something like that. Or chunky sirloin burger. I like that, you know, a lot. But I'm going to tell you, that's a can. One can per day is a ration. If you can add in a little bit of rice, if you can add in some poke salad, or you add in some dandelion greens for your salad. And if you had you and could keep you and get you a big jug of the olive oil, olio olive, olio olive, all right? The extra virgin and the true stuff, you know, get that. And if you have a big can and jugs of that, then you can put that together with a little bit of vinegar. And if you got cider vinegar, apple cider vinegar, if you got vinegar and a little water, then you got your dressing. You got your dressing for the poke salad, or for the dandelion greens. And there are certain flowers which you need to research. Put into a search engine. What type of flowers are edible? Okay? The type of flowers that are edible. You could be growing them in the garden, couldn't you? Some of them are perennials, like roses, by the way. You can eat rose petals. I've seen that on salads in the past years. But you can get other different things. I will also tell you, get you a Meyer lemon tree. Get you a Meyer lemon tree. There's also a dwarf one, you see, that they only grow up about 5-6 feet. And you get your Meyer lemon tree, and they work pretty doggone good. You can keep them inside in the winter, put them in a window, and they will give you, after a while, they'll give you lemons. And then you got all kind of bushes that you can plant that will come up and be perennial. Blackberries, blueberries, what have you, all right? And then if you can buy all of the seeds you can get of the heirloom type, or you can pluck the seeds out of a tomato and save them for the next year, for this year or that year, where you can make those things, then you can going to be able to eat. But the key is to have enough put back initially to where that will allow you to survive. All right, I'll tell you what, Brother Quayle is at 406-586-4840. 406-586-4840. You can get silver, you can get gold, platinum. Steve has got it, and he can get it to you quick. He also has all of his books. Sign up for his private briefings and Steve Quayle 2.0 information from all of Steve's sources, and talking about other things, about the digs in Mexico, the archaeological digs that his man Jesse is doing down there for the Q-Files, you see. And what they're finding and those kind of things down there. Get that information, because I'm going to tell you what. Give him a mission to go guard him. He was taking off a ship he was on, and he had a he was a signal intelligence person. He wasn't really a ship patrol or shore patrol, you know. He went in SP. He was sent to go pick somebody up in transit, pulled off a ship and sent clear into the PI and sent to an Air Force base, you see. And those of you who remember all of that, you know the base and all those kind of things. And he goes there and he sees all this ruckus and he sees all these canines jumping on this big guy, you know, and taking this big guy down. And he's the big guy's fighting him, and then about a dozen air police, okay, air patrol were jumped on top of that guy and held him down, put him in the cuffs and the chains, you see. And the dogs were biting and nibbling him, and the guy's still biting him. Well, this guy was allegedly a sailor who was 7 feet tall, right? And he had 6 fingers on each hand, all right? Well, this person was sent with a .45 and 2 magazines, you know, one in the gun and, you know, one in the .45 and another on his waist belt. And the handcuffs and a set of orders say, take this guy here to Tokyo, all right, or Yokohama, wherever it was at, somewhere in Japan, and take him to the duty officer. Boop, boop, boop. There you go. Well, where's my plane, Lebo? No, you got to go over to Subic Bay, to the Navy base, to get on a plane over there. They'll take you. So he had to go across the PI, the Philippine Islands. And them jitneys, deenie, 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 you know, the wild jitneys and the buses and all the different stuff and all the different things. And it took a while to get there and to get in the, you know, in each one. And he's sitting there, and this guy can talk in every one of the Tagalog dialect. So anyway, the six-finger Samuel, we can't, I guess some people can't hear me or whatever on it. I think they're goofing me up because I'm not doing anything different with my phone than I normally would do. But be that as it may, I'm being heard after we've discussed it. So consequently, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what. You want to keep old Hawk on the air, and hope you do. Anything is most needed and wanted. Believe me. It can be sent to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And it could be, you know, a silver dollar, ounce of silver, silver dime, silver quarter. It could be a little bit of gold, you know, a little bit of platinum, whatever it might be. Or it can be a check. Send it to Hawk. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that'll keep me in the game, keep me in the hunt. Keep me in the hunt against the bad guys. And it'll be stacking blows against the enemies, the Lord Jesus, and the one, the remnant of what is to come. Those are here, here, nice to see. So I'll tell you what. You've also got, I mentioned the Inner China Bible Project. Inner China Bible Project. Gospel Furthering Fellowship. 221 Hamilton, Myerstown with the Y. MYERSTOWN. Pennsylvania. 17067. Indochina Bible Project. Gospel Furthering Fellowship. 221 Hamilton, Myerstown, Pennsylvania. 17067. Now, let me just give you a little bit of word of warning here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you what. My buddies up there at the GS Radio, they're not doing anything wrong or having any problem. I'm not having any real problem here other than I'm talking on a thing. They knocked me off completely off of Skype and off of my internet. Somebody did. The NSA, somebody. And that is the fact of the matter. You've all listened to me for a long time, know that to be the case. Because they don't like it when you talk about Lord Jesus. They don't like about it when you tell the truth about their evil. But they've also, in the past, they've knocked out, as I told you about Brother Quayle, getting his whole board knocked out and the data transmission line, the big one, AT&T, all the way down, 15 miles down the road, all the way, burnt and crisp. And I also told you that one time I know they knocked out the GS radio computers. And then they can mess with the satellite transmission. They can mess with it up there and garble it or to screw with it or do different things with it. As the no such a-holes know how to do, all right? Or the red Chinese that they probably are getting paid for and work for know how to do. Or the guys like Ray Ray, who wants to be the secret police chief for the World Economic Forum or whatever, all right? And who probably is also getting paid by the red Chinese, all right? So I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. They would like for them to say, oh, that Hawk, he's goofier, he's crazy, or he doesn't have any ability to do anything. And, oh, boy, you know, he's not like these other guys that have $40,000 microphones and TV studios, you know. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having that. But the Lord told me to keep it simple and go direct and keep it straight and to tell it to you hard, straight, and fast. So I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. It's just imagine what you can, but they would like to get rid of people like me. And they have tried, and they've tried against different people who were friends of the show. And I know Brother Quayle has had a lot of people come for him. And when they came down, they were on the road out there, and they went into a gas station that was near the road to go up to his old house up in the mountains there. And, you know, they ask, is this the road where Steve Quayle lives up the road? We're friends of his, you know? Only they knew they weren't, all right? Or when the fisherman, came down with the fishing pole and a rifle, came down the back 40, and Brother Quayle, they didn't know Brother Quayle had some cameras and sensors and stuff that would alert him in section one or section two, and then he was able to take a look with the spyglass and with the binoculars and stuff, and even at night with the night vision to see who was out there. And the guys that were glassing him and doing all the stuff. All the different people that when Steve came out the back door of his business, and there was a guy down at the other end of the alley who he recognized. And Steve, I'll tell you what, you don't want to confront Steve because Bob Munden, look up Bob Munden, who has passed on to glory, but look up Bob Munden and the quick draw and the pop-pop. Quick draw, pop-pop, pop-pop-pop-pop. Fastest gunslinger in the West, and Steve Quayle was taught how to do that, all right? Cocked and locked and ready to rock and roll. So, ladies and gentlemen, You don't want us. You don't want to get us, people who work for the Lord Jesus. Why would they want to take him on? Because they think they're going to win? Ha ha! They better get another thing straight, because Lord Jesus is going to come down with a sword in his mouth. He's going to come, and he's going to come with his archangels. He's going to come down, and he's going to go to Armageddon, and he's going to put to waste a 200 million man army. That's the power of the Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday night. If you can go out tomorrow, while you still got a little time, get you some more groceries. See if you can get some Mountain House at the camping stores and that kind of stuff, as well as the canyon. But don't go into there, Luciferian knife, not a fight. Stand for your family, your Bill of Rights, stand. You see, for your business, your farm, whatever it is you got. And I would say this, mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology and your spacecraft, which you broke away, being at the top of the food chain, but still on the side of the Lord Jesus. Use it to strike blows tonight against the enemies of the Lord Jesus, wherever you might find them on the globe. Pendango Rangers, I know you're ready. Go see Lieutenant Tanner. Mickey LaPua, Mickey, you're going to be out in Corky's world here before too long. Hiding in the tree, pretending to be a 338 sniper bee, huh? Road and track, little Al, you say hi to your daddy and your mommy, because you got good ones. You got the good ones, and Lord Jesus loves you. Keep up with your studies. Get into the math, the